the persecuted church. Some of the things which we do, such as taking communion, we take for granted. The privilege that we have in living in a country where that's an okay thing, where we can have communion, baptism, weddings, funerals, preach the word, and nobody comes in and says, you can't do that here. Some of you might be familiar with what occurred on Christmas Eve in Beersheba, Israel. At the Christian Missionary Alliance Church there, there was to be a special Christmas Eve service, and there were a couple of young ladies who were 18 years old who had actually, I believe one was from a Messianic family, who were going to be baptized. They were traveling there to be baptized, but the service before that occurred, and before these gals even arrived, was disrupted by a group of Orthodox Jews who didn't want this service to go forward. Let me read to you just a little bit of a letter I received from the missionary there. On Christmas Eve, our family and our congregation experienced the fallout of Christmas. Religious Jews of all categories overran the congregational facility, which belongs to the CMMA, and rented to the local congregation. The more religious and zealous called there to stop a baptism of Jews, quote unquote. There were others who were who simply came because their rabbi told them to meet them at a particular address. They did not even know exactly where they were or why they were there. When the more aggressive among them arrived, they pushed by the man who was standing by the door trying to hinder their entrance. However, he was no match for the many who came. At least 400 men, women, and children arrived, and a good 200 of them entered the property. They did their usual cursing, songs, and shouting, but when they controlled the direction and tone of the demonstration, even as other participants were ashamed of the violent behavior, they threw the congregation's charcoal grill and potted plants and children's slide into the baptismal. Chairs and rocks were thrown. Some even pushed the pastor into the baptismal. They destroyed the overhead projector and unsuccessfully tried to knock down the part of the sound system. In addition to the pastor being pushed in the pool, others were assaulted. Thankfully, our pastor was not bodily hurt. Only his expensive glasses were destroyed. One of the deacons was slugged in the stomach, which knocked the wind out of him. The wife of one of our elders received a blow to the back, which caused her leg to swell. She is still hurting until this day. My son Aaron and I were standing in the back of the auditorium when a large man came at me screaming, "Are you a missionary? Get out of here." And with that, he gave me an unprovoked punch to the face. In the following moments, with courage, humility, and joy, a sense of the Holy Spirit's presence was with me. I looked at him and blessed him. He shouted back at me, "I hate you." He was later handcuffed by police and made to sit down. He was made to sit down. That was the reaction of the police to an unprovoked assault within church property in that country. They need our prayers. We need to pray for them regularly. There were leaders. In fact, one was a Sephardic chief rabbi of Beersheba. Okay, that's kind of like a bishop. If we had bishops, more like a district superintendent for us. But somebody of that level and stature was there and encouraging people to behave in such a manner. I believe it's wonderful that even out of this, God has used it to bring people to questioning about Christ. I don't know if anybody has come to receive Christ through this yet, but I do know that some who were there were ashamed of their actions and later went and talked with some of the Christians and got to hear the gospel. And I do know that the Christians that were there certainly were covered with the Holy Spirit in their response. I will tell you that if somebody would have taken a swing at me, I would not have said, "The Lord bless you." At least not without the Holy Spirit being upon me. So I pray that if such a situation ever happened to me, that I would be as blessed with the peace of the Spirit upon me as this missionary was and others in this congregation. I encourage you to pray for them this year. As I said in the title of my message, which I haven't even gotten to, it's not all about me. This is one example of stewardship, the stewardship of our time, the stewardship of our prayer, that of praying for those who need it. A persecuted church, which is much more prevalent than we like to think in our society. There are more people persecuted today for Christ than there were in the year 100. Granted, there are a lot more Christians. But yet, there are more people who die for their faith and who lose their property than there were during those times of Roman persecution. That is something we need to not lose track of. Another issue which I want to bring to your attention. And you know this isn't something that I do a lot of. But I'm going to ask you to not watch a particular TV show, and I'm going to ask that you encourage others not to do the same. How many of you have heard of the TV show that's coming out, The Book of Daniel? On its website, NBC describes the Reverend Daniel Webster, who is the main character of this show, as an unconventional Episcopalian minister who not only believes in Jesus, he actually sees him and discusses life with him. Webster is challenged on many levels as he struggles to be a good husband, father, and minister while trying to control a nagging addiction to prescription painkillers and an often rocky relationship with the church hierarchy. NBC says that Jesus' character's frequent chats with Daniel serve to remind him of his strengths and weaknesses. Also on their website, there's a little bit more discussion about what goes on in this family and whatever. It says, Daniel Webster is an Episcopalian priest whose wife, while he's addicted to painkillers, his wife depends heavily on her midday martinis. And Webster regularly sees and talks with an unconventionally white-robed bearded Jesus. The American Family Association has also added that Webster's family also includes a 23-year-old homosexual Republican son, a 16-year-old daughter who is a drug dealer, and a 16-year-old adopted son who is having sex with the bishop's daughter. At the office, that is Webster's secretary, she's a lesbian who is sleeping with his sister-in-law. Now, I do not hold that what goes on TV has to support and preach the gospel message, but when a TV show degrades Christian teaching and actually attacks the faith and seeks to ridicule it, Turn it down. This is being held up as a positive Christian show. It is anything but. So, my comment is, again, this is part of stewardship, is what are you doing with your time? If your time is being spent watching this show, it's a disservice to your faith. It's a disservice to you. It's poor stewardship of your time. And I would, in fact, encourage you to contact the station or any sponsors and let them know that the show offends you and that you would prefer they're not participating with it. I don't feel that, you know, whatever's on TV has to abide by Christian mores and values. I would like it to. However, I think it's important that we, living in the country that we do, not demand something like that. However, I think it's within our rights not to watch it. And when something is offensive and actually attacks us, our beliefs, our faiths, our values, that we speak up and say, this is wrong, this is just disrespectful. And let them know. So, with that, we're going to move forward and look at our text this morning, which is from Luke chapter 12. It's one which I've preached on before, but I'm kind of hopefully look at it from just a little bit different slant, different angle than I have previously. This is also known as the parable of the rich fool. Chapter 12, verse 13. Someone in the crowd said to him, "Teacher, tell my brother to divide the inheritance with me." Jesus replied, "Man, who appointed me a judge or an arbitrator between you?" Then he said to them, "Watch out. Be on your guard against all kinds of greed. A man's life does not consist in the abundance of his possessions." And he told them this parable. The ground of a certain rich man produced a good crop. He thought to himself, "What shall I do? I have no place to store my crop." Then he said, "This is what I'll do. I'll tear down my barns and build bigger ones, and there I will store all my grain and my goods, and I'll say to my soul, 'Soul, you have plenty of good things laid up for many years. Take life easy. Eat, drink, be merry.' But God said to him, 'You fool! This very night your life will be demanded from you. Then who will get what you have prepared for yourself?' This is how it will be with anyone who stores up things for himself but is not rich towards God." Let's pray. Father, we thank you for your blessings. We thank you for your word. We ask now you would send your Holy Spirit to illuminate these scriptures for us. Lord, I pray that you would anoint me this morning to preach your word, that I might speak your word in truth and in power, would communicate it in such a way that each person here feels that they have heard from you this morning and has been encouraged. Father, you've given us these lessons so that we might learn your will and how better to follow you. Lord, help us to receive these lessons now into our hearts, in our minds, that we might indeed live them out. Give us the understanding that only you can, Lord. Show us how we can each one personally apply these words, new and fresh each day, to our lives. Lord, we thank you that we have your word and we have your Holy Spirit and we have you always interceding in our behalf. Now, Lord, show us, speak to us, each one. Show it is the part that you would have us to apply to our lives. We pray this in Jesus' name. Amen. Some interesting points in these verses. First off, remember it's a parable. Parable is indeed a teaching story. The point of a parable is you take one or two points of it and you exaggerate it or focus on it just a little bit more so that you, or the teacher, can convey one or two main points to get them across. So what do we see here? As Jesus comes to speak this parable, he's responding to somebody whose focus is on his inheritance with his brother. He's saying, hey, tell him to share. I want that too. Now, whether or not he has any right to it is immaterial to the question at hand. Jesus comes out and warns him specifically. He says, watch out. Be on your guard against all kinds of greed. We're not supposed to have this all-pervasive desire for stuff. All kinds of greed. Money greed. Property greed. Sometimes our greed gets real specific. Some of us are collectors of different things, and when we see something, we covet it quite a bit, and we get greedy. We want more of it. I'm kind of that way around books. I see a book, I go, ooh. Now, it's not telling us that it's not okay to collect wealth. That is not the lesson which is taught in this parable. He's called a fool by God, but for different reasons. First, we see that the ground of a certain rich man produced a good crop. And he thought to himself, my soul. Now I read it with the literal translation from the Greek for the words myself and you in verse 19. When I put in the word soul. But that's what the literal Greek means. The word used there. It said, I'll say to my soul. 12 times in this short little span, he's focused everything upon himself. And not once here do we see a thank you to God for the bounty the ground has produced. Now, it doesn't say that it was the farmer who produced the crop. It was the ground. The farmer just happened to be the recipient of this bounty. Doesn't say that he was even a good farmer. But he just did. He received this wonderful bounty. And there's no sign that this bounty isn't of itself bad. It's not. The problem is, he got all caught up in the stuff. And he forgot all about where it came from and anybody and everybody else. It was all about me. Now, I don't know about you, but I've sometimes behaved in such a manner. Don and I tease back and forth. She goes, "Oh, it's all about me." You know. And we tease, but that's not the truth. Because Donna doesn't think it's all about her. I know that because she sacrifices a lot. Because she's my wife. For one. But she gives to many others and is concerned about many things. So first off, this guy is a fool because the focus has become totally self-centered. Totally oblivious to everything else going on. Totally oblivious to the fact that God has given him this bounty and there's not one iota of appreciation. Thank you. Blessing to others. This is what we are told to do with the bounty that we have. This is something which would have been readily apparent to all of the Jews who were listening to this parable. They know that they're supposed to tithe. They know that they're supposed to give sacrifice. They know that they're supposed to give thanks to God. Instead, Jesus, in telling this parable, has made this guy totally shut out everything else. And then comes in the kicker. He says, "You're all concerned about tomorrow, and tonight your life is going to be required of you. Tonight you die and face judgment." Well, that's more warning than most of us get. Sometimes we think we're going and we don't. Sometimes we don't think we're going and we do. Some people live a lot of years. Some people, real short, real fast. Some people take a long time in the going. We don't know. None of us knows. We may think we're in control. We're going to do it our way in our time. I've got a plan. I'm going to do this way. I'm going to live to this age. And then at that point, I'm just going to do this and that's going to be it. And God laughs and, you know, you step out on the street and the bus comes by. Or an aneurysm and you fall down. I was told as a pastor, I always need to be ready to do three things. I need to be ready to preach, pray, and die. As a Christian, I think I need to be ready to do three things, preach, pray, and die. It's not any difference. We're always supposed to be ready to give the reason for our faith. It's a command that we find in Scripture for all of us. We all need to pray. What's prayer? Anybody? Thank you. I know I've told you that one before. I know you know it. It's true. It is. Prayer is talking to God. It's a conversation with God. We got to talk to Him. We got to listen to Him. And we have to be ready to die. What do you have to do to be ready to die? What do you have to do? You have to give your life to Christ. You have to live your life for Christ. Romans chapter 12, verse 1, be a living sacrifice. That is your spiritual act of worship. That is what is missing. This guy. This is how it will be with anyone who stores up things for himself but is not rich towards God. How can we be rich towards God? He tells us to love one another. If I miser my love, I'm not being rich with it. How many of you have seen the movie Brewster's Millions? What was his problem? He was given this deal. You need to spend $30 million, and if you can spend the $30 million, I'm going to give you $300 million. But you got to do it within so many days, and you can't have any assets. And it was the biggest problem the guy had. See, money kept making more money for him. He had it in such amount. I mean, he goes in and he got change out of the machine, and it was like a gold doubloon or some silly thing, a very rare coin. Came out and it's worth, thousands of dollars. He's put in a quarter and gets thousands of dollars back. He's like, ah! Well, love is like that. The more you hoard it, the less you have. The more you give it away, the more you got. We need to be rich towards God. When God blesses us, we need to not say, mine. We say, thank you, Lord. And give to Him that first 10%, because that's all He's asked for, because it's really 100% His. So we give Him that. Then we look around and we say, who else needs help that I can help? Maybe I need to give sacrificially. I received an email, a little slideshow. It says 10 things that God will never ask you. Yeah, one of the points that will never ask you, God will never ask you whether or not how rich you were, but whether or not and what kind of food you had, but how did you help others that were in need and hungry? How many others did you reach out to? That's a good question. That's what this guy's not doing. Now remember, the word fool, which is used here, means without sense, without common sense. And literally is one of the deepest insults you could give someone in this culture that Jesus is addressing here. And God says, you fool. Because he's without understanding. He's missed the point of life. It's not the accumulation of stuff, though there's nothing wrong to accumulate wealth. It's, are you rich towards God about the wealth which you have accumulated? After all, what point is that wealth when you die? You can't take it with you. People try. They've been trying for ages. We see burial sites where people are buried with their gold. And you know what they find? They find bones and gold. No people. Gold didn't go with them. The wealth didn't go with them. It doesn't. However, if we are rich towards God, that is being loving towards others, sharing the gospel, sharing the resources which God has given us, then we are storing up for us treasures in heaven, which is a totally different passage, but which is one which this is directing us to be living. We need to be rich towards God. It's not just money. This wasn't about money. This was about grain. Well, he could convert that grain, that property, into money. Yes. There's a lot of things that can be converted into money. But if that's all we're concerned about, we're missing the point. We need to be thankful to God and bless those who are around us. with whatever riches we have. Now, some of us don't have a lot of money. All you who have more than $10 million in your savings account, raise your hand. I'd like a loan. Better yet, a gift. No. We're not a wealthy group. $10 million isn't what it used to be. It's kind of ridiculous, but hey, when my dad got married, he bought his first house. My mom, my dad, at Fry to live in, was $5,000. I can't even buy a decent used car for $5,000. And they bought that with a 30-year mortgage. We didn't just write out the check. $5,000 was a lot of money. But they moved out. 4 years later, next house was $10,000. 5 years after that, the next house was $35,000. They just keep going up. The money? That's not the focus here. It's the attitude. In our stewardship of what God has given us, are we looking at what we have and going, mine? Or are you saying, Lord, you have blessed me. This is mine to share. Who would like some? That doesn't mean we're supposed to be silly or foolish with it. We need to be good stewards. And unless God honestly directs us personally to give everything away, don't do that. Take care of your needs. That's why God gave you what He gave you. But sometimes He's also asked us to be sacrificial and say, you know, I can actually do without this. It might hurt a little bit, but that's okay, because if I give this, I will help this person more than I will suffer. And that is a good thing. That's how we can be rich towards God. By loving one another, sharing with each other, those who know Christ, our brothers and sisters in the Lord, and those who do not yet know Him. Because for each person who comes into the kingdom is enriched. So, don't get all focused in on the stuff, which is real easy to do at Christmas time. It's real easy to get enamored of the toys and the gadgets, the clothes, whatever. And let that become the focus. None of those things are bad. What is greed. When that becomes the focus. When that becomes the purpose. Our purpose needs to always be showing God's love to others, obeying and following our Lord and Savior. Let's pray. Father, help us not to be fools. Help us to spend our time and energy according to Your will and Your direction. Lord, might we indeed seek You in prayer always. Father, might we each day pack our bags so we're ready to go. That is, confess our sins, self-evaluate, turn it over to You, and seek each day to follow You as best we can. And Lord, might we be faithful in sharing out the reason for our hope. Every opportunity that presents itself. Father God, we thank you for your word. We thank you for the blessings that you have given us. Lord, help us to be rich towards you in all that we have and in all that we are. We pray this in Jesus' name. Amen.